Hallelujah. God is good. Thank you, Lord. He sure is. Mark 5, chapter 1. It's a story that we're all familiar with, and I'm not going to be before you very long. This is not a deep message. It's just what I felt to share with you. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And verse 6 is what I want to focus on today. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. I'm going to read that again. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Today, the title of my message is called, What's Stopping You? What's Stopping You? Let us go to the Lord in prayer. And if you know how to pray in the Holy Ghost, I ask that you do so today. There is warfare going on in this service. I believe that the enemy is fighting because there is something significant that's going to transpire in this service today. And I believe that today, by the help of the Holy Ghost, that we are going to overcome and that we have already won. And we're going to see victory and deliverance in this place. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, we bless you. Lord, we lift you up right now in the name of Jesus. God, even as your word says, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Let them that hate him flee before him as smoke is driven away, so drive them away. Oh God, I pray in the name of Jesus that every demonic imp that's been assigned to us would be even right now dispersed and be removed from this place. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I command right now complete release in this house. In Jesus' name, we break every shackle and every chain that has been arrayed against us. In the name of Jesus, we command release in Jesus' name. Release from bondage, release from every demonic oppression that's in here. Right now, we command release in the name of Jesus. Somebody, come on, pray in the Holy Ghost for a minute. Let him run my back. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we break every work of the enemy. In Jesus' name, we're going to have victory today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm not the devil's doormat. In Jesus' name, we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. And we break your power, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Come on and push just for a minute. Oh, Jesus. Break the power of the enemy right now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Have your way in this place. Lord, have your way. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Oh, mama sapra tabakom ro ne bene bre bahaya. Ro na mama sapro na mosha. Ro toko to te ke 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 ro shipata. Jesus. Ma pabra makobada. We have had enough of the devil. We've had enough of his devices and his works. And today we take back authority and we take back what he has stolen in Jesus' name. Yeah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Somebody take it back in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to let the enemy stop me anymore. No more blockages or obstacles will stay me anymore. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I release the prophetic right now in the name of Jesus. We release the prophetic in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to wait just one more minute. I feel the Lord's going to speak to us today. Thank you, Lord. Speak, Lord. Have your way today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Trying to move on. Thank you, Lord. I want to give it just one more minute. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Praise your name today, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise your name. The text that we have just read today is about a man who has completely lost everything. His life is in shambles. The text says that this man was living in a graveyard, that he was living in a cemetery. We don't fully understand or know what happened to this man, but whatever it was, it must have been traumatic. That this man could not be helped or remediated through normal human means. The Bible tells us that he was chained and fettered, meaning that he tried to be people tried to incarcerate him due to the demonic influences that he was under. And despite whatever they tried, that he broke them asunder, and he was driven into the graveyard. He was driven into the cemetery, that everywhere he looked, all he saw was death and mayhem and despair. This man had nothing. That in another gospel, in Luke chapter 8 actually, it says that he had no clothes. And that he, day and night, in the cemetery, was crying and cutting himself with stones. Now, as someone who has done youth ministry for a number of years and has worked with young people, there is a circumstance, or even somebody called a clinical diagnosis of what's called self-injury. people who are cutters. And I'd always wondered as to why someone would intentionally injure themselves or cut themselves. And for what psychologists have found out is that people who tend to do this have experienced something so traumatic and so horrible that they don't know how to process it. And that it has literally short-circuited their emotions and their ability to deal with this pain or this trauma. And so they no longer feel anything. They are numb to everything. So they cut themselves and they injure themselves because the physical pain is better than the numbness and the emptiness that is inside. And that as we see in this text here, that this man is exhibiting some of that behavior. That he is in a place, as I've just described, where there's nothing but death and mayhem. He has lost everything. He has no family. He has no friends. He has no associates. He has no clothes. He has nothing. He is destitute, and he's under the oppression of demon power. And the fact of the matter is that whatever it was that opened him up to this demon power must have been something horrendous. Because as we read later on in the text in Mark 5, we discover that this man is not just possessed with just one or two devils, but that he is possessed with a legion of devils. And that a legion back in the time of Jesus and where our text transpires, a Roman legion consisted of 6,000 soldiers. So to use that as an identifier gives us an idea of just how many demon powers were raging inside of this man. This man's life was a complete wreck, a complete disaster, and he lost everything. He was under the complete auspices and control of demon power. But despite all of these things, all of these factors that I've just listed, that being isolated and ostracized, being surrounded by death and having no clothes, being bloodied and oozing out pus and all sorts of nastiness and disgustingness, despite all of those factors and variables, the Bible says that when he saw Jesus, that he ran and he worshiped him. I want you to understand something here, that nobody told this man who Jesus was. He didn't get a tract or a sermon or a Bible study to describe that this is the one person in the entire universe that can help you get free of the demonic powers that are raging inside of your body. No one told him. He just simply saw Jesus. He saw Jesus and was able to run to him. Now we need to consider all of the factors that I've just stated that would stop him from getting to Jesus. The fact that he had no clothes, the fact that he was bloodied and he was a disgusting mess, the fact that no one could control him, the fact that he was possessed with thousands of devils. And last I checked, devils don't like being around Jesus. But yet being possessed by thousands of devils, they could not stop this man from getting to Jesus when he saw him. And the Bible says that when he saw him afar off, Jesus was not close by. He was off in the distance. But it says that when that man saw Jesus, despite thousands of devils resisting him, he ran to Jesus and he worshiped him. That thousands of devils could not stop this man from giving honor to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thousands of devils that possessed this man could not stay his feet or stop his progress to getting to Jesus. So I submit unto you this question: what is stopping you? Typically, when someone is possessed, when the devil says you're supposed to jump this high, you jump that high. They control what you say. They control what you think. They control what you do. But despite being possessed, the devil could not stop him from getting to Jesus. So what is stopping you? What is stopping you from experiencing Christ in all of his sufficiency? What is stopping you from experiencing the fulfillment of all that God has for you? There is nothing that is able to stop me from getting to Jesus. I can imagine that as he took each step getting closer to Jesus, that the devils are whispering in his ear that you're a failure. You've been abandoned. All that is around you is nothing but death and mayhem. He's living in a graveyard, for Pete's sake. Everything he sees is death and despair. You're disgusting. What do you think Jesus is going to do? You don't even know who this guy is. You're a failure. Everyone has abandoned you. They've tried to control you. They've tried to medicate you. They've tried to educate you. They've tried to help you. Nothing has worked. What do you think this guy getting off of this boat is going to do to help you?
despite all of the whisperings, despite all the doubts and the fears, despite all the inhibitions, nothing could stop him from worshiping him. Nothing could stop him. So what is stopping you from coming to Jesus? What is stopping you from giving your life to him? What is stopping you from experiencing victory? What is stopping you? There is nothing that can stop us from getting to Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 35, that who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is what pulled this man to Jesus. Stronger than the gravity of the sun holding the planets in their orbits. Stronger than the nuclear force. Stronger than the electromagnetic force. The love of Jesus compelled this demon-possessed man to come to him to experience the sufficiency of Christ. To cause him to experience his grace, his mercy, his peace, his goodness, his greatness. The love of Christ compelled this man. And that when the love of Christ compels you, no devil in hell can stop you. I believe it's in Jeremiah 31 verse 3. It says, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. My love, even right now in this audience, God is reaching across trying to compel you to give yourself fully to him. And nothing can stop you except yourself. No force on this earth. Nothing in the heights of heaven. Nothing in the depths of hell. No sin, no trauma, no pain, no hurt, no demonic power that is in existence can stop you from getting to Jesus. The love of Christ is greater. Nothing can stop you if you should so want it. Philippians 3:8 says, yet doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, from whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. Whatever excuse that you are coming up with to not move towards God, whatever reason you're coming up with, whatever argument, whatever excuse you're trying to think of as to why you cannot be saved, or as to why you cannot have a relationship with Christ, this man overcame them all. You can name the excuse, you can name the reason, name the trauma, name the pain. This man had that problem, had that, and surpassed it. Yet despite all of that, he was able to get to Jesus afar off. Afar off. What is stopping us? I believe sincerely that the force that caused this man to come to Jesus was the love that he could feel from this man. Again, no one told him who Jesus was. No one preached a sermon. No one did a Bible study. No one explained. This is the Son of God. This is the Word incarnate. This is the one that has the capability of setting you free. There was nothing that was there to give him a pretext to move towards Christ, but somehow he could perceive the love of Christ. And this is what I really want to get across to you today, is that as the text I read in Romans 8, that it is the love of Christ that compels us and motivates us in our action. We think that, you know, gas prices are really high right now. And without gas, you can't go anywhere. I want you to consider the price of the gas that Jesus paid to get you to move. Because what motivates me preaching today is the love of Jesus. That Christ loves you. That Christ loves you more than words can convey or say. That the universe, the expanse, the breadth, the height, and the depth cannot contain the love that Christ has. Christ supersedes it. His love can reach down to the lowest valley. It can reach down to the dirtiest alley. It can reach to the highest mountain. It can reach down into the deepest fountain. It does not matter where you are. Christ loves you, and he is compelling you and drawing you to come to him. What is stopping you? What reason is it that prevents you from experiencing all that God has for you? I tell you that the love of Christ is greater. Let's stand. That's all I wanted to say. I didn't want to be here too long. I told you I wouldn't be here too long. Thank you, Jesus. Nothing should be able to stop us from getting to God. Nothing in all the heaven, nothing in all the earth should be able to stop us from getting to God. Whatever it is you're thinking of, whatever your past may be, whatever problem that you're dealing with, it cannot stop you from getting to the love of Jesus. This man proved it.
This man proved it. Whatever it is you may be thinking of, the love of Christ is greater. So what's stopping you? What's stopping you from experiencing his love? What is stopping you from fully surrendering to him completely and totally? It's really quite remarkable that we come with all the reasons why we can't worship, why we can't pray, why we can't read the Bible, why we can't do all these things. All of these things are moot. All of these things are worthless. There's nothing. Nothing can stop the love that Jesus has for you. But you just need to be available and open to it. So I offer you this opportunity. I don't want to be here for very long. But I think that is the warfare. Can you imagine the warfare that this man was experiencing just trying to get to Jesus? And again, he was afar off. The distance that this man might have had to cover to try and get Jesus' attention. But despite all of that, the Bible says he fell down and he worshiped him. No devil can stop your praise. No demonic power can stop you from worshiping him. And that's why the psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Despite the circumstance, despite the situation, I have the capability to worship God. I have the capability to be saved. I have the capability to be born again. I offer you this opportunity to come to Jesus. Come and dine, the master calleth. Come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, he who turned water into wine, to the hungry calleth now. Come and dine. Offer you the opportunity to come and to follow Christ, to experience this. And there's nothing that can stop you. Only yourself. Only your self-doubt. Only your own ideas. But it's not you that's doing the saving. It's Christ that's doing. You just need to allow him to do so. And that's why the warfare is so strong. Because the devil does not want you to get to Jesus. He does not want you to get to Jesus through prayer. He does not want you to get to Jesus through the word. He does not want you to get to Jesus through the church. There's all these different avenues that you can get to Jesus. And the devil's doing everything he can to stop it. But I just told you, nothing can stop you. That I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. Philippians 3:13 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press for the mark, for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm trying to quit. I don't know who this is for. The message I was going to preach originally, which really wasn't ready, there's a story that's in it I want to share. I'm doing what pastor does. I'm doing most of my preaching when you're standing. I'll be quick. There, back in the 1800s, there was a great revival that was in Wales. And this revival was so amazing that it inspired missionaries to go all over the world. And these missionaries, they went to a particular part of North India, which was very dangerous because there were very violent and aggressive tribes that were there. There were headhunters that they would decapitate people and hang their heads up and drink their blood. So when I talk about being hostile, they were very hostile. These missionaries, they came to this village and they began to preach Christ. There was one family in particular that accepted the message and became believers in Christ. It was a family, a husband, a wife, and two children. The chieftain of the village was so enraged at this turn of events that he called the entire family to the square and he said, I want you to renounce Jesus or we're going to kill you. The husband looked at the chieftain and he said these words, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The chieftain was enraged. And so he told his men to kill his children, his two children. So they drew their bow and arrows and they killed the two children. They said, now look, I've killed your children. Renounce your faith. Renounce your faith or I'm going to kill your wife. The man looked at the chieftain. He said, though none will follow, though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back. No turning back. So they killed his wife. And they said, now look, renounce your faith or we're going to kill you. And he said these words, the cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. You've ever heard that song before? That's where it comes from. It was the words of a man who said, I've got to get to Jesus and I'm not turning back. So the chieftain was really enraged, and then he killed the man too. And after he killed the man, he was very bothered by the fact that he didn't renounce his faith. And he asked himself, he said, why on earth would this family die for a man who lives on another continent 2,000 years ago? What did this family have that I don't have? And it troubled the chieftain so much. And then he thought about it, that he must have something that I don't have. I want this faith. And the chieftain that executed him then gave his life to Jesus himself. And the entire village gave their lives to Jesus, and that village is still serving Christ almost 200 years later, because one person said, nothing will stop me from getting to Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. He hadn't been saved very long. He was a fairly new Christian, and possibly the only one that was in the village as far as his family is concerned. But he was so convinced of the love of Jesus that he stood there, was willing to watch his own children, his wife, and himself die, because he said, I'm not turning back. There is nothing that's going to stop me from following Jesus. So I ask you again the question, what is stopping you? What is stopping you? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. I feel the Holy Ghost in that. Someone needs to make a decision that I'm going to go after Jesus and nothing's going to stop me. And I'm not going back. I'm not going back to the way I was. Not going back. These altars are open. If you want to come to Jesus and never go back, come on and come forward. We want to pray with you today. There's nothing that can stop you. Nothing that can stop you. God bless you.
Amen. As he said, the altars are open. If you would like prayer, if you would come forward, there is no stopping. Hallelujah. We're going to close this service, but we're going to pray. Amen. Peter, when he spoke in the house of Cornelius, something happened. And Cornelius and his household were filled with the Holy Spirit. And he asked a similar question. What doth hinder? What's stopping you? Hallelujah. If you could stand with me, we're going to pray. Father, Lord, we just ask right now, Lord God, you have visited us today. Your presence is here right now. Lord, I know you have spoken today. Lord, you've accepted our worship. Lord, we ask right now, Father, for everyone that has come forward, Lord God, that they will make a commitment that no matter what happens, they're going forward, no turning back. Lord, as we pray for them, Lord, we ask, Lord God, that your anointing, your spirit will cover, will shield, will protect, will restore, will heal, will deliver. Hallelujah. We ask it right now, church, if you could pray as we pray for those at the altar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just open your mouth and start.